Andrew's Physical Therapy at Blaine and Strawberry Plains. That's where I've gone to rehab my knee, shoulder, and elbow. When rubbing a little dirt on it ain't good enough.
As I recall, your redshirt freshman year, Jeff Francis gets hurt. You play against Louisville, 41 points.
Yeah.
You play against Ole Miss, 55 points.
Yeah.
Fast forward to 1989. You win the starting quarterback job after the team the year before had started 0-6. You beat number 6 UCLA on the road.
Yeah.
You beat number 4 Auburn.
Yeah.
6th game of the year, you lose to Alabama.
Yeah.
And then you lose your starting job. Andy Kelly.
Yes, I did.
How tough was that to take?
The toughest part of that is I didn't know what I did wrong. I didn't know what I did wrong. I did everything I was asked of me. And my grades were decent every game. But, you know, that's Tennessee. You know, more than anything, we prided ourselves on being 3 deep at each position. And we prided ourselves, my class when 86 came in, you know, iron sharp as iron, and the sharpest guy's going to play. And with the changes that were made, you know, at positions, made in coaching, you know, and, you know, bottom line is a team game. So when it's time for teammates to perform, and Andy came here to play also, and Andy's a good quarterback. You know, the hurtful thing that hurt me the most was the fact that I didn't know what I did wrong. All I did was win. That's what you asked me to do.
Were you bitter?
Yes. No player does not want to play. And if I wasn't bitter, I think they'd have took my scholarship from me. It was a competitive world when we played. Practice was more competitive than any game we ever had. And especially from 89 and 90. So, yes, I was hurt. I was bitter. I wanted to make sure the team wasn't divided, though, because I was had a lot of friends on the team, and it was my job as a team mate to make sure that everybody gave their best for the man that's calling the shots in the game, because if he wins a ring, I win a ring, too.
So you stuck it out.
That's all I knew. You know, a lot of people thought I should have transferred. A lot of people thought I should have, you know, made more of a stink about it. But, you know, I ain't built that way.
You and I have not talked about this in 35 years.
35 years.
So there was a great running back on the Tennessee team named Reggie Cobb.
My roommate.
After the Georgia game, he was dismissed from the team.
Yes.
I was working at the Knoxville News Sentinel, and they said, hey, this is a local player. You got to go find out why he was kicked off the team. So I did, and I reported that he had positive drug tests. I don't know if you were mad at me or the situation, but there was a boycott of players that would not talk to me after that. And you were part of that. What do you remember about that?
What I remember is about that is that, you know, we were roommates.
You and Reggie Cobb were roommates.
Roommates since freshman year. Mm-hmm. I never seen anything that was reported. Okay. I also was told in a team meeting that he was dismissed for violating team rules.
So, which is true.
Okay. Yeah. So my thing is this, and this is where I come from. It's just me being a New Jersey guy. Silence is more valuable than speaking. Mm-hmm. So who in the world put that out there? When we supposed to be a brotherhood and keep our issues in-house? Some things should always remain with the team. And the only information the team got was that he violated team rules. How did it fall off the cliff to something that, you know, I've never seen? And I've been laying next to him for 3.5 years at this time. Okay? And we were close.
Yeah.
I mean, rest in peace. That's my man. You know, I think about him daily. But.
Were you angry at me?
Oh, absolutely. I was young, man. And I was young because, you know, you saw us every day, brother.
Yeah.
You know, and we looked at you as family, you know, a lot of you guys that saw us every day. And that's why we took you. A lot of people, I don't know if you noticed, some people wouldn't talk to over you guys as a team, you know, so we talked to you, you know, especially you. you one of the, you was family. So we looked at it as, and I looked at it as, I can't speak for a lot of people, I can speak for a couple others, but I know I did, like, you know, family reporting something on family that we wasn't told. That's not what we were told.
I didn't know y'all weren't told.
We weren't told that. We were told a violation of team rules. Yeah. It could have been curfew, could have been, you know, a million other things. But then for that to come out, who said that? When those that were in the hierarchy of that organization and that team and that outfit back then, we prided ourselves on keeping our dirty laundry in-house. So somebody violated that.
So after that year, you did talk to me.
Yeah.
What cleared the air? Why did you decide after that season?
It was time. Just time. Time. No, time is a friend to everyone. You know, so, you know, I had to realize, you know, I was a year older, you know, and, you know, you got a job to do. Somebody told you something. I've had people say things about me since then over the past 35 years that, you know, because of different, you know, ways or processes, you know, people can't make you do something you don't do. So I've been cleared because I didn't do it. See,
I know what you're talking about.
Exactly. So, you know, my thing is, you know, and you had a job to do. And who's to know, to be candid with you, because they know how close me and Reggie was, you know, that maybe Sterl might be
the one
what was reported also. And maybe, you know, it's amazing how he could kick it off the team and now I lose my starting job. That's all the same time.
I never thought about that.
So, you know, I mean, it's, these are things that, you know, I've you know, as a grown man now and as a young man back then, you know, I had blessed to have my mother and my uncle who talked me through it because, you know, it's hard to work hard for something than have it taken away from you and you don't know why. It's hard to be coming into a game and getting tackled by opponents and people saying, man, what did you do to lose your job? Yeah. It's hard to be, you know, to play a team, then the whole team comes and hugs you and you ain't even get on the field. Yeah. Man, you know, it's hard. And, you know, and then things happen, you know, post that moment in 89 where, you know, If that was the point where, you know I did my job, that people said things to me that was definitely thankful to have heard, you know, that made me feel like, you know, I did my job when I was out there.
Need a quick fix for maintenance? Visit Ray Varner's service department to keep your Ford running smoothly. That's Ray Varner Ford in Clinton.
I think you're in your mid-50s.
Yes, I am.
And you have run marathons. You're looking great shape.
I'm looking, but I'm getting it, Jimbo.
How many marathons have you run?
I've run 5 full marathons, and I run 9 half marathons.
And you just ran one recently?
Just ran a half marathon, the Covenant Health Marathon in 2024. Now, I did it off of Dare. So let me
off
keep
a dare?
Off a dare, because one of my friends who was an elite runner and also in the C-suite of Knoxville Track Club, and Big Jim, who was the CEO of Covenant, I just come to, you know, to start the fun run, the 1 mile fun run, and, you know, and you know, for the kids and do my deal. So he walks up to me and says, "You running in the half marathon next week, tomorrow, aren't you?" I said, "Man, I haven't trained. Plus, I haven't slept. I did 4 events that day. I drove back from Chattanooga from doing an event for Chattanooga that day to start the race. Then I had to leave that and go do an event that night. So I went get in the house to 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. The race starts at 7. I mean, I can't. Sterl, if you don't run, I'm talking bad about you the whole year." Well, you can't have that.
No,
I can't have that. So I got down there. I ran a time that's respectable to some.
You finished. That's respectable.
I finished, brother, and did the deal. And but you know, I ran it without no sleep or no training.
I want to talk a little bit about community. You within the last few years, you served with Leadership Knoxville.
Yes, sir.
Was that an honor to be asked to be a part of that program?
It was an awesome honor to be a part of this phenomenal organization. Leadership Knoxville has an incredible amount of people headed by Tammy White and John Cherry that mean the the circle of leadership Knoxville are truly servant leaders. And I've learned so much on how to be a servant leader. You know, I always believe I'm just one conversation waiting for being a statistic, because it took someone to take time with me to have one conversation. I got a mother who's by the salt of the earth.
Mm-hmm. I've got a feeling that if y'all had any parties, you might have been the DJ at those leadership Knoxville parties.
I've been DJing a couple of them, brother.
A couple of them.
This interview brought to you by A.G. Hines Company, selling building materials since anyone can remember.
You've never drank, never smoked, never did drugs.
Before you go in, Jimmy, I want to make sure I don't judge anyone that does that stuff.
Right.
My thing is, never let it control you, always control it.
So, obviously, you're exposed to it
from
New Jersey or Knoxville. Yeah. I was exposed to it as a young kid.
Yeah.
How did you have the willpower to say no?
Well, can I be transparent?
Sure.
I'm going to be 100% transparent. Okay, so I'm 7 years old, and a friend of mine, you know, had an adult that exposed him to probably too much at that age. So he knew how to go get this substance, to snort when the adult wasn't looking. So he says, "Charles, go get some Coke." All right, well, I'm go get some Coke. So I asked my mother for a quarter. A can of Coke was a quarter that time. I can go to the store, get a kill. And said, "No, man, I'm going to go get this." I said, "Man, I got my Coke." No. So now I tell him, he said, and the only reason I didn't try it, Jimmy, is because I had a cold. And to this day, my sciences are messed up, bad sciences. But I didn't try because I had a cold. So I went and told my mother. So she was like, "You can't hang with him no more." I had no idea what it was. Mm-hmm. So here it is, fast forward from 7 years old, second grade to sixth grade. Now I'm 11. So I want to hang out with the guys on the block, you know. And on my block, you know, there was a lot going on Harrison Street, from A to Z. And so I'm hanging out with the older guys. And so this is a transparent story. So I indulged in some beer and, you know, some things, and I'm doing way too much for an 11-year-old hanging out with the 18-year-old seniors in high school and doing my thing with them. And I get home, and, you know, my mother, everybody knows Sterling mother is going on the porch to call him and his sister Lori into the house. So now I get Sterling, it's during the summer, and I told my next door neighbor, Mike. I said, "Mike, look, you talk to my mother in the living room. I'm going to just go to my room, act like I'm tired, and go to bed." So it worked. And so when I just go right in the bedroom, and I'm 11 years old, and all of a sudden, you know, things happen when you indulge in too much beer, you know.
Did you visit the bathroom?
I didn't make it. I didn't make it. And so my mother comes in, and I had this big, and the Dr. J poster on my wall, Walter Payton and Tony Dorsett posters on my wall. And I remember seeing them coming at me in the room spinning. And then I have one sister, and I saw three of my one sister. And my mother was just, you know, doing her motherly things and being a great woman that she is. She's cleaning up the mess. And I never forget that she said to me, "Sterling, how much beer did you drink?" I said, "Mommy, I had 2 quarts." And I never forget the disappointment in her face.
Did that teach you a lesson? Was it how you felt after you drank it, or was it disappointing your mom?
Disappointing my mother. Nobody disappoints her.
Yeah. It seems like you never have a bad day.
Man. It's easy to smile. It's easy to smile than frown, man. I mean, I'm human, but you know, hey, it's the bright side to every. If you keep your problems to arithmetic and don't let them get to calculus, it's easier to solve.
Well, I'll say this: I know your mom is extremely proud of you.
Oof.
Has to be. And thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate that. It's been a pleasure to have you as a friend through the years. And I wish you the best of luck. I'm not going to wish you luck as a DJ, because I know you do that. I'm going to wish you luck on that half marathon you run next time.
I'm going to run a better time, brother.
A better time? All right, you do that.
Thanks, Jimbo.
Thank you, Sterling.
Appreciate you, man. Appreciate you. Woo.